Father, when we come before you, we need no masks, no hiding of ourselves is possible or necessary. We are known and we are loved. Father, may we know this to be true in our own lives this evening. Lord, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 25 is the account of what happened following the death of Abraham. Abraham passes on his blessings to Isaac, and this is his birthright, being his firstborn son. And this birthright should have rightfully gone on to Esau, as he was Isaac's firstborn son. But as we read, he sold his birthright for some lentil stew. It's interesting that in verse 23, God had told Rebekah that her eldest son would serve the younger son. She didn't know herself how this had happened, but as we see later in chapter 27, we see her helping Jacob, who became a favourite son, to deceive Isaac into receiving Isaac's blessing instead of Esau. Esau would go on to complain about Jacob having his birthright and his father's blessing, but he failed to acknowledge that it was his decision to give his own birthright away. He chose to do what he did. So back to the story in verse 29. Esau comes in absolutely famished. Made me think about the children sometimes coming in from school, and the first thing they wanted to do was raid the cupboard. He's just thinking about his stomach and how hungry he is. And Jacob, he's a bit of a schemer. He spies a chance to get one over on Esau, so he asks him for his birthright, which seems an odd thing to ask for. I don't quite understand why Esau, he surely should have thought, well, trade me birthright, what for? Just for some stew, you must be joking. But he didn't. He didn't seem that though he really valued his birthright. All he knew was his stomach was empty. He could have just laughed at Jacob, grabbed some bread, and told Jacob to give him some stew anyway. After all, he was a hunter. He would have been a strong man. But he didn't. It appears he wasn't as switched on as Jacob. Jacob had spied this chance to get one over on his brother, and he grasped the chance. And it must have been something he'd been thinking about for a while. Esau just knew that his stomach was growling and he wanted food. He wasn't about to die, he was just hungry. And he wanted something to eat right now. He couldn't see beyond now. He just wanted relief from how he felt now. He settled for short-term gratification at the expense of long-term gain. He wasn't thinking straight. Because as we read, he ate, he drank, he rose and went on his way. It was as simple as that. And that's why at the end of the passage it says he despised his birthright. He gave his birthright away for a meal, knowing, but not really thinking, that in a few hours he'd be hungry again. How short-sighted was that? Would we have acted any differently? Esau's view of life is how it can be for many who live life only for the here and now. Our physical urges, whatever they may be, demand a reaction straight away. But it doesn't mean we have to feed them. Like Esau, he had a choice and we have a choice. It's hard to be disciplined sometimes, and Esau certainly wasn't disciplined. We live in a world where people see things and they want them, and they want them now. They don't want to wait. Like Esau, they know what they want and they want it now. Like Esau, they want the short-term gratification even if it costs them later. They don't think about the future. They just think about now. And sometimes it can cost in all sorts of ways. And any of us can be guilty of falling into the same trap. There are those sometimes that buy things when they haven't got the money. It's not something they need, it's just something they want. They don't think about the debt and how it can mount up. For some, debts can sometimes spiral out of control. They don't want to save first, they want things now. Waiting isn't an option. There's those who sometimes can turn to drugs or alcohol to take away out the reality of the situation. They don't want to think about the now. They don't want to think maybe about the addiction that they can have, or if they have an overdose, or drink themselves into oblivion. They want to relief from life problems now. There are those who think nothing about having sex with somebody else other than their own partner. They just want the other person. They don't think about or bother about the long-term consequences. They want what they want now, and that's it. There can be countless things in life that you and I want, but is having everything we want worth anything at all? Are you and I guilty of sometimes wanting short-term fixes? We may know that what we want will only be a short-term fix, but does it make us want it any less? Probably not. The physical urge to want and want what we want now is there inside all of us. The issue lies whether or not our physical urges are under our control or whether they control us. Esau's hunger controlled him. Life is full of choices, and you and I have to sometimes say no to the things that we want, because the things we want will compromise, even go against what we believe as a Christian. It all comes down to how much you and I value our birthright. Because our birthright changes when we become a Christian. We ask Jesus into our life, and our life changes. The Bible tells us we're born again, we're given a new nature, we become a new creation. We aren't the same person as we were before, because our sin has once separated from God, no longer does. The Bible says we become spiritually alive, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we are guaranteed eternal life. And we can now go to God directly through Jesus, because this is what he won for us on the cross. How much do you and I value what Jesus did? How important is our relationship with God? The Bible tells us that we are in Christ, and that our relationship with God changes forever. We become his children, he becomes our father, and we have that relationship with him. And we also have fellowship at the same time. And I believe that our relationship with God never changes. And I've said this many times before, it's just like me having a relationship with my mum and my dad. They'll always be my mum and my dad. But my fellowship with my mum and dad can change. If we have an argument, some people don't see one another for years because they have an argument with the son or the daughter or the mum or the dad or the brother or the sister. Our fellowship can change, and that's how it is with God. Sometimes our fellowship changes. And it changes for the worse when we choose to go our own way. We sell ourselves short in our relationship with God. We don't have peace. We don't have the closeness. It's not what God wants. But our stubbornness means that sometimes that's just how it can be. As a Christian, Satan has lost us. But Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 says this, that we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. He may have lost us because when we commit our lives to him, we're then on the side of Jesus Christ. But he wants to make us, Satan wants to make us ineffective. Yes, we've received the Holy Spirit, but we have to allow him access to all areas of our life. It's again, it's a choice that you and I make and have to make. Satan doesn't want us to do that. He knows what our weak points are, just like he did with Esau. Esau was his food, his stomach. He'll try and convince you and I not to give the Holy Spirit access to all areas of our lives. He likes to convince you that you and I, that everything we want, we should have. And he tempts us with all sorts of things to try and draw us away from God's presence. Because our physical urges are strong and he'll use them to tempt us. There are three ways he tempts us, and they're mentioned in 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 to 17. And these are the three verses. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So it mentions three ways there. One is the cravings of sinful man. The second is the lust of his eyes. And the third is boasting about what he says or he has and does. Some Bibles quote it as the pride of life. So the craving of sinful man preys on our own physical desires and covers some of the things I've just mentioned. We may crave things like sex or food, and Esau's downfall was his stomach that led to him giving his birthright away. And this was the first temptation of Jesus after not eating for 40 days. Satan offered Jesus food when he was at his weakest. Satan's temptation is to offer us what we crave, and often this can be when we're at our most vulnerable. So the second thing, the lust of his eyes, it mentioned in those verses. We see what the world has to offer and we say, I want some of that no matter what it costs. We become blind to think that material things will somehow bring us contentment. We look at things and think we need them. We sometimes even try and justify why we need them, why we must have them. They become the focal point of a life. I must have, I need them, I want them. It destroys our relationship with God because these things become more important than our relationship with him. And this can happen in the human relationships too. And the final thing it mentions in those three verses is the pride of life. It's boasting about what a person has and does. And this is the temptation to live an independent life from God. To say, I'm better at doing things my way. I know what's best. To never inquire what God may think, but only to turn to God when things go wrong and a crisis occurs. It puts the focus on us, how good we are, how proud we are of ourselves, how we've done this, how we've done that. It's not wrong to be proud of the sum of things that we achieve, but it's important to acknowledge that often God has a hand in our achievements too. How we need the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we're to stand up against the temptations that come our way, he'll help us and he'll guide us if we allow him to. How precious is your walk with Jesus? How precious is my walk with Jesus? Are we guilty of quickly giving into temptations, or do we stand our ground? It's our responsibility to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to be drawn away from God and not sell ourselves short in our relationship with God. Because God wants to walk closely with us each day. Satan can use people and situations to try and draw us away in that relationship with God. He'll use our fears to try and convince us that what we want, we should have, and we should have it now. We have to weigh up our feelings because sometimes acting on what we are feeling may end up with a wrong action. And that can end up sometimes with terrible consequences. It's so important that our lives are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's quick to convict when feelings are wrong. We have to listen, and then we have to choose to obey. It's a choice we make. Esau chose short-term gain in listening to his stomach. What choice will we make the next time temptation comes along in our life? Amen.